Treshim Sechtbal Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amr Aleph at the end of the fifth line. Hayim Matanasa, there was a matana given by Shchimera, Daf Ksiba, that was written into this matana, B'chaim U'B'mavis. The words B'chaim U'B'mavis were written into this gift. And the question is, how to understand those words? Rav Amar, Harei ki matana shchimera. It's considered like a matana shchimera. The Gemara will explain what the basis for Rav's opinion in a moment. Shmuel Amar, Harei ki matana spari. Shmuel, on the other hand, says it's considered like a matana spari. Rav Amar, Rav is of the opinion, Harei ki matana shchimera. It's considered a matana shchimera. Midik Sibba, because the word b'mavis is used in it, it means that the gift should only be effective after he passes away, which we know is what the Shchimera, when he gives a gift, intends. Why did he use the word b'chayim? The reason he used the word b'chayim, simen ba'al mudachai. What he means is, he doesn't want to speak about death. Atiftach pel esotin. So that's why he began his statement with Chaim, that I should live and be well, but if Chas v'Shalom something happens to me after I pass away, the gift should be given to this individual. Shmuel is of the opinion, Harek Matanas Bari. It's considered a Matanas Bari, which the fundamental difference between a Matanas Bari and a Matanas Shchimera, as we've been learning, is a Matanas Bari, if he gets well, the gift is still a gift. We're asked if it's a matana shchimera, if he gets well, the gift is no longer considered a gift. I, Shmuel, considered this a matana spari, midik siv b'chaim, because the word b'chaim is used. What he meant to say was m'chaim kamar, that the gift is a gift from now, not like a matana shchimera, which is only valid, only effective after he dies. I, v'haydik siv b'mavis. Why did he use the word b'mavis? Command Amar, what he meant to say with the word b'mavis is that I want this gift to be permanent. So before we go into Be'ezra Hashem explaining the Gemara, what the Gemara is teaching us is that if somebody used the wording b'chaim or b'mavis, machloikis Rav and Shmuel, how to understand the situation. Rav says we look at it as matana shchimera, and therefore two important rules will come into play. The gift will only become effective after this person passes away. And furthermore, if the person recovers, the gift will become null and void. And how do we understand the wording Mechayim? Because he didn't want to start with the word Mavis, which has a bad meaning, as if he's Chas v'Shalom going to die. Shmuel, on the other hand, treats it like a matanas bari. The key word, according to Shmuel, is michayim. The gift is effective from today. And since the gift is effective from today, it's a matanas bari. And even if he gets better, he can't go back on the gift. Why did he use the word mavis? He wanted to show the permanence of the gift, like death, which is permanent. This gift is a permanent gift forever. What is the case, asked the Rishonim, that Rav and Shmuel are debating about? Because if he gave away all of his assets, it's clearly an indication that it's a matana shchimera. If he didn't give away all of his assets, so everybody, as we learned in the Mishnah, holds that a matana shchimera is only when you gave away everything. But if you didn't give away everything, it can never be considered a matana shchimera. So what's being given away and how is it being given away? That's the subject that Rav and Shmuel are debating. So the Rishonim explain that the case that is under discussion is a case that we discussed in the previous year. We learned in our previous year that there's a new category, a category called Mitzava Machmas Misa, where there the halacha is that not only if you gave away everything is it considered a Matana Shchimera, that if you get better, the halacha is the kinyan, then you could go back on the gift. Rather, mitzvah machmas misa, even if you gave away only part of your assets, even with a kinyan, if you get better, you could get your gift back. And that's going to be the case that Rav and Shmuel are debating. Because if it's a matana shchim rabbi mitzas with a kinyan, Rav, we learned in the previous year, holds that that's considered a matana spari. And we have Rav being a man da omer in this machlokes. So it can't be a matana shchim rabbi bari, because that's matana shchim rabbi mitzas bekinyan, because that's a matana spari. So the only way we can have a case that everybody will agree that it may have the din of a matana shchimera if it's mitzava machmas misa b'miktsas. So Rav said, if he used the word b'chaim b'mavis, we say that the reason he used the word b'chaim first is because al-tiftach pel l'sotin, he didn't want to speak about death first. And therefore, say the achroinim, let's say he reversed it. He said b'mavis u'b'chaim, there Rav will agree with Shmuel. Because the only reason Rav is disagreeing with Shmuel is because Rav is saying that the reason he used the word b'chayim first is because he wanted it to be a good simon. But then if you want to have a good simon, you use the word chayim first, not the word mavis first. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that this machloikus of Rav and Shmuel is strictly in a situation where it's a shchimera who's speaking. And we could say that he used the word mavis, as I just explained, to indicate what he's giving is a gift of mitzava machmas misa. But if the person is a bari, so there it's hard to interpret that he's giving this gift as a mitzava machmas misa, given that he used the word michayim. And there, even Rav will agree that it's going to have the din of a matanas bari, which is a permanent gift under all circumstances. The Magen Avraham paskens, based on this Gemara, that our Gemara teaches us, according to Rav, the concept of our teftach pel l'sotan. You shouldn't use the word mavis, you should try to couch it with words chayim. That a person, as he's saying vidui, many people have the minhag to say vidui every night, a person should not say vim omus, if I shall pass away, my death should be an atonement for my averus. Because again, says the Magen Avraham, it's in the category of al-tiftach pel l'sotan. In fact, I saw the Maril Diskin asks a question. If our Gemara is teaching us a rule that we're well aware of, about al-tiftach pel l'sotan, a person shouldn't speak this way, we find that Yaakov Avinu spoke this way. Yaakov Avinu said, after he finally met up with Yosef, after the 22 years, meets up with Yosef Mitzrayim, Amusa Apam Achrei Ro'ois Panecha. I could die, I saw you. So ask the Merle Diskin, here we see the Rav taught us, you're not supposed to use that kind of word. You're not supposed to speak that way. So how did Yaakov Avinu speak this way, Amusa Apam? So he says a beautiful word. We're all very familiar with the Medrash, that says that when Yaakov Avinu met Yosef, he said Krishma. What does Krishma represent? Krishma represents that a person is ready to be Mois Nefesh. He's ready to give up his life for Hashem. Yaakov Avinu, and this maybe is the reason why Yaakov Avinu specifically said Krishma at that moment. You finally see your beloved son Yosef after 22 years, and now you're saying Krishma. But says the Maril Diskin, every time Yaakov Avinu said Krishma, he really couldn't have the proper kavana. He really couldn't have the proper intent that I'm ready to give up my life for Hashem. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu knew that his purpose in being in this world was to have 12 sons, the 12 Shvatim. And till now he was under the assumption that Yosef was no longer alive. And if Yosef is not alive, he only has 11 Shvatim. So he hasn't accomplished what he's supposed to in this world. So how can he say, I'm ready to die? He's not ready to die. He's not ready to die. He needs to have 12 Shvatim. But now, after he meets Yosef, and he realizes that now I achieved my purpose in this world, So now his Krishna could be a real Krishna, that he's ready to give up his life for Hashem. A Musa Hapam. This time Hapam. This time that I'm saying Krishna, a Musa, I could say with the perfect Kavana that I'm ready to give up my life for Hashem because I've done what I have to in this world. Amin Hadoi, so says Nahadoi, Hilchska Vasei the Rav. The Loch is like Rav. Amar Rava. Rava disagrees with Nahadoi. Vikosba Machayim, because Rava is of the opinion that if in his wording he used the word Machayim, that is an indication that he wants the Kinyan to be effective from now. He wants it to be a Matanis Bari, like Shmuel taught us. And therefore, Kana, he can't go back even if he gets better. Omar Meimer, however, Meimer says, "Less Hilchasikav say the Rava. We don't paskin like Rava. We don't paskin like Rava who paskins like Shmuel. Rather, we paskin like Nahadoi who paskin like Rav. Less Hilchasikav say the Rava. Amalei Rav Ashi LeMeimer says Rav Ashi to Meimer. Of course, Rav is incorrect. Pshita." The Amar Nadai, we just learned a moment ago that Nadai told us that the halacha sukkah basay the Rav. That the halacha follows the opinion of Rav. So obviously, since the halacha follows the opinion of Rav, the halacha is that when you use the word, even if you use the word mechayim, it still could be matana shchemara. Answers the Gemara, mad tema, we would think mechayim, that if somebody didn't use the word bichayim, where do we find that Rav says that if somebody uses the words b'chayim or b'mavis, it's still considered a matana shchemara? When he used the word b'chayim with a base. But maybe where he used the word michayim, even Rav will agree that that is an indication that he means that the gift should be effective from today. And because he means that the gift should be effective from today, it should be a matana spari. And therefore, my the Rav will agree that if somebody used the wording b'chayim or b'mavis, even he will agree that it's considered matanas bari. Kamashman. That's why they had to teach us no. That even when the word mechayim is used, mechayim umavis, Rav still will hold that that's considered a matanas shchemara. Says the Gemara. Hudas l'kamei de Rav Nachman l'Hador. There was somebody came with a question to Rav Nachman l'Hador where a shtar was written mechayim umavis. And Rav Nachman knew that we passed him like Rav. But Nahador was the place where Shmuel was the Rav. And therefore, Rav Nachman felt that it was inappropriate, a lack of derech eretz, that in the place where Shmuel is the Rav, to passkin different than he. And therefore, because he didn't want to passkin in Shmuel's city different than Shmuel, Shadril Kamed Rav Yerba Amba, he sent this person who had the question to Rav Yerba Abba in the city of Shum Tamya, because he said, Hocha Asra the Shmuel, this is the city where Shmuel is the Rav, Hechen Avikav Asay the Rav, it's inappropriate that I should explicitly pass like Rav. Says the Gemara, Hayid Asla Kamed Rav, there was a woman that came to Rava, with this type of a shtar, which was written b'chaim u'b'mavis. Ovele Rava k'shmatza. Rava, paskening, as we learned a moment ago, like Shmuel, said that this shtar that has the wording b'chaim u'b'mavis is considered a shtar bari, and therefore this woman who had written the shtar, and now Baruch Hashem, when she was a shchemira, and now recovered, and now wanted that the shtar should become invalid, Rava said no. The halacha is like Shmuel. And since you use the word b'chaim b'mavis, it's considered a matanas bari. And even though Baruch Hashem you recovered, you can't go back on your gift. Avla Rava k'shmatza. Rava paskin, like his opinion is, that he follows the opinion of Shmuel, that this is considered a matanas bari. Have a katar delay. And this woman was very upset at this psak of Rava, because it caused that she should lose her assets. Because it's considered a matanas bari. Amalei l'rapapa b'reid Rav Chanan. So Rava wanting to get this woman off his back, so to speak. So said Rav Papa, who was the Safra, who was the Safra, the Dinah, Zilk Savla, write her that it should be considered like a Matana Shchimra, as she wants me. However, the Ksaba, I want you to add to this document that you write to her the following words. Soicha Alehem Amatam. Wording of a Mishnah Masechet Matziah. What was his purpose in adding these words? So the Rishonim explain. These words have no place in this psak that he's paskening now because of the pressure that's considered a Matanas Shchimra. But he was only doing it to get her off his back. He wanted that when this woman will take this document to next Bezdin should realize that there's something not right here. So he added the word Soicha Lehem Imatam. And the next Bezdin will immediately say, what do these words belong here? There must be something wrong, and this is not really the way Rubber felt. He only wrote it because whatever reason. And that was his goal. Why specifically these words, Soicha Lehem Imatam? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that these were the code words that were always used when a Rav felt coerced to write something that he really didn't feel he should be writing. So the code words that he always added were Soicha Lehem Imatam. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that Rav was learning Masechet Bava Metzia. So he wanted that there should be something created around the shtar that would create some question. So he specifically wrote any words. So he told the cipher, write these words. Why these words? Because these are the words that came to his head because he was in the middle of learning Masechet Bava Metzia. But this woman was a smart woman. And she recognized and realized what Rava was doing here. Amar Litbe Arbe. So she cursed Rava. Your boat should sink. Atui Kamatasli. You're trying to trick me. Am Shinna Lamana the Rava Bamaya. The Talmidim of Rava, seeing what happened here, and the way most Rishonim explain Pshat in the Gemara, is that the rule is that when somebody, Rechmon Litzlan, is cursed, we have to be concerned that a killer's chinam, even a curse that I'm not supposed to get, will come true. So they wanted to fulfill the curse, so they just took his clothing and they made them wet, and like that, the curse is taken care of. It shinu lamani the rav of mayim. Says the rav, filoch lo ikfrak miteva. Didn't help them. His boat ultimately sank. Why? So there's three pshatim in the Rishonim. The first pshat is the pshat that I just said. Killer's chinam, we have to be worried about. And she cursed him, even though perhaps he wasn't worthy of the curse. It happens, a curse is a very powerful tool. One pshat. Another pshat that the Rashbam says, because as we've been learning, Rava paskened wrong. Rava was passing like Shmuel, but the halacha really should follow the opinion of Rav. So Rava was deserving of the punishment because he paskened incorrectly. A third pshat is the pshat of the Me'iri. The Me'iri explains that Rava was doing litzonis here. What he was doing was a makari. He didn't have the ability to fight with her. So he took the shtar and he wrote an incorrect shtar and put words into the shtar to sort of correct it. That's not the way Talmid Chacham act. It's not with the proper seriousness that Divrei Torah require. And that's why Rava, especially somebody on the Madrega of Rava, and that's why Rava was punished. As we start, Ezra Hashem, wrapping up the sugyas of Shchimra, which we know, as we've been learning, the entire concept of Divrei Shchimra, Kiksuvim Kmesurim Dami, is all based on Umdana, as we've been learning, that certainly nobody would give away everything he owns unless he was sure that he was going to pass away. I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Chelkas Yaakov, based on the same type of concept. He speaks about, the question that was asked him is the following situation. A shul was built in a community. The shul was built by Jews who daven Nusach Ashkenaz. And in the bylaws of the shul, it says that this shul, they must always daven Nusach Ashkenaz. And the neighborhood changes. And the people who live now in the neighborhood are not people anymore who daven Nusach Ashkenaz. They're people that daven Nusach Sfard. They don't want to daven Nusach Ashkenaz. I don't want to go into the question, is there somebody allowed to change his Nusach from Sfard to Ashkenaz and Ashkenaz to Sfard? Some Sefer to Rechaim. Some Sefer says you're allowed to go from Sfard to Ashkenaz, but not from Ashkenaz to Sfard. The Rechaim says just the opposite, you're allowed to go from Ashkenaz to Sfard, not from Sfard to Ashkenaz. That's not what I want to discuss today. What I want to discuss today is, we have a reality in front of us. The shul's bylaws are that they're supposed to daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and these people say, we don't want to daven Nusach Ashkenaz. And if this shul, fine, they don't want to daven Nusach Ashkenaz, so we'll open up our own shul where we could daven Nusach Sfard. What is the halacha? Because the shul doesn't have enough membership to continue davening Nusach Ashkenaz. Says the Chalkas Yaakov, and he uses our sugis that we've been learning. Certainly there's an umdana, that as much as the people who founded the shul wanted them to daven Nusach Ashkenaz in the shul, they certainly preferred that there should be a shul, then the shul should close up. There should be a shul davening Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfard, better than nothing. And therefore, since, as we've been learning in our sugyas, the strength of an umdana, the halach is the paskins that they could change the nusach from Ashkenaz to Sfat. Says the Mishnah, lakos bashchimura, and as the Rashbam tells us, the nusach of a shtar, that's a shtar shchimura, it says k'dekotzer v'romi ba'arsi, as I was laying in my bed. This shtar doesn't have that wording. On the other hand, the wording of a shtar written by a healthy person is ken mahalich al ragloi b'shuka. As I'm Baruch Hashem healthy and able to go in the street, doesn't have this wording either. So now we don't know, is the shtar a shtar shchimera or shtar bori? Lakos b'shchimera. Hu oimer, the giver says, shchimera, you see. I was a shchimera when I gave this gift, and now I'm Baruch Hashem well, and therefore my gift should not, I should be able to retract. V'hein oimrim, on the other hand, the receivers say, Baruch Yisro, you were healthy. And since you were healthy, the gift is a permanent gift. Tzarech lahavi ra'ah sheshchimera ha'yid v'rameya. According to Rameya, it's the giver who has to prove that he was a shchimera. V'cham oimrim, the chama on the other hand, hold, ha'mech b'chaver olav ha'raya. And again, here too, the Rishonim discuss what exactly was the case of the Mishnah. Because if he gave everything away, that clearly is an indication that it's Matanas Shchimera. If he didn't give everything away, it's clearly not a Matanas Shchimera, as because we've been learning. A Matanas Shchimera is only when you give everything away. So it's clearly Matanas Bari. So again, they explain, as we said earlier in our share, that the situation here was, and I'm not going to go into all of the details again, that it's a Matzava Machmas Misa, that gave away even just some of his assets. But as we have been learning, a mitzava machmas misa who gives away some of his assets, a mitzava machmas misa who gives away some of his assets, if he gets better, if he recovers, he could go back on it. And that was that's the debate here between the giver and the receivers. Says the Gemara, Ha'um ha'tanasa davakos ba'kad avakotz v'rami. The shtar says, as I was laying in the bed, the like kosba, but it doesn't add umigoy mara mara iftel beis omei. When I got there, and it doesn't say that he died. So now the question is as follows: the person is dead at this point. When we're analyzing the situation, he's dead. The issue, however, here is as follows: the shtar was certainly written as he was a shchimera. The shtar says so feirish, explicitly. The question is, we don't know what happened. Did he get better? And if he got better, then the gift is void. And then maybe he got sick and died again. And he only died once. He got sick again and died. Or is it that he never got better? And therefore this is considered a Matanas Gemara. Tosfos uses this Gemara to make a very important point. We certainly can't finish learning the sugyas of Shchimera without speaking about this. Tosfos says, we keep on speaking about a Matanas Shchimera, that if the person recovers, the gift is void. How does that happen? Does it happen automatically, or does it mean that the person who gets better now has the opportunity, the option of saying, Baruch Shem, I'm better, I recovered, and I want the gift to be void. From our Gemara, it's clear that it happens automatically. Because if what's required is that the Shemira should get up and void his gift, certainly that didn't happen here. So what's the issue in the Gemara? Says Tosfos, from here we see, and this is the opinion of most Rishonim, that if Shemira recovers, the gift is automatically voided. The gift is automatically voided. So now the question is, again, we have a situation that the shtar was written certainly as a shchimera. And we also know that this person, the shchimera, unfortunately is not here anymore. The question is, did he die because of that illness, and this will be considered a matana shchimera, or did he get better? Omer Rav, so Rav says, Harei Meis, he's very kibre mechichlov. The fact that he's now dead is a pretty good indication that he died from being a shchimera, and therefore the halacha is that it's considered a matana shchimera. Amle Abaya asks Abaya to Rava. Hashta, let's understand what you said. Says Abaya to Rava. Umas Sfina, Shirubin la'abed. A ship sank, and there were people on the ship. We don't know for sure that they're dead. The ship sank. The halacha is that we know that if a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Truma. If the Kohen passes away, she's not allowed to eat Truma. If a Bas Yisrael's husband was a Kohen was on that ship, we don't allow her to eat Truma anymore. Because we have to be concerned that her husband's no longer alive. On the other hand, a Bas Kohen who marries a Yisrael also may no longer eat Truma. But let's say her husband dies and they had no children. The Torah says the shava of Beis Aviyah. She is allowed to eat truma. Yet we won't let this woman eat truma either, because we're concerned that her husband may still be alive. Or Masfina, Shirubin La'abid. Most, if a ship sinks in the middle of the ocean, it probably nobody survived. Still, Noistan Lechurmi Chaim Vechurmi Mesim Choylim. Here we had Taka, this person with a Shkimara. But we notice a concept of roiv cholim l'chaim, that most people who are sick get better. Certainly, like Koshkein, why do we assume that the shchimera died because of his illness? Why are we so quick to assume? Ask Abaya to Rava. So obviously, when we learn this Gemara, all of the Rishonim have a very hard time understanding Abaya's question to Rava. In the case of the person who drowned, we don't know for sure he's dead. So that's why perhaps we can't establish for sure that he's dead. In our Gemara, however, we know for sure that the person died. We know for sure that the person died. The only question is, did he get better and die, or did he die from his disease? So how can we compare the two cases? And in fact, there are Rishonim that say the reason Rava in our Gemara, we don't find even responding to Abaya, and the reason many Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch paskin like Rava, because they don't consider Abaya's refutation a legitimate question even. Other Rishonim explain Abaya's question as follows. When a ship sinks in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, the chances that anyone survived are very minimal. Number one, it's unlikely that anybody could survive such a event. And moreover, if somebody, Baruch Hashem, did survive, where is he? Still, we say that the Cheskes Chayim is so strong that we're not ready to pronounce the man dead. So ask Sabaya, certainly the Chazaka, that a person who gets ill, a lot of people get ill, and they Baruch Hashem get better, should be such a strong Chazaka that just because he's dead now should not be indication that he died from that disease. Actually, this concept of Roiv Cholim L'Chayim, I saw two interesting halacha lemaisa shailas based on it. Question comes up, is a kohen allowed to go visit somebody in a hospital? Or, I saw same type of question, a question was asked to Rav Moshe, by a kohen, who was offered a job in a hospital, and the question is he allowed to take the job? Does he have to be concerned that there's people who are dying in the hospital? So, Rav Moshe, I saw Rav Moshe Sternbuch, the Chuvus Van Hoggis, take the following approach. Certainly, as much as the person has the ability to verify what is happening, every person has that obligation. Because we can never rely on chazakas and roiv when we could be mavara, we could verify ourselves. One point. However, they say that if it's a hospital in Chutz Lartz, where most of the patients in the hospital are non-Jewish, and therefore the issue of tumah doesn't exist, coupled with what our Gemara just taught us, roiv choylem l'chayim, the person could take the job or could visit. He says, Rav Moshe says, that the kohen taking the job in the hospital has to be able to stipulate with his employers that every time he's going to find out that somebody Jewish died in the hospital, they're going to have to let him walk out of the job, out of the hospital, until the body is removed from the building. But on the other hand, I saw Gevalda Geshayla. All of us, we shouldn't have to, but unfortunately we do, have people that we know that are ill. They're not ill. So when we daven Shemon Esrei, we daven that they should have refuah shleima. By Kriyas HaTorah, we make a Mishaberuch on their behalf. But if our Gemara says, Roiv Choylem L'chaim, most sick people get better, so why? Before we go to shul in the morning, we should call all the people that we're davening for and check if they're sick. Otherwise, we shouldn't daven for them. On the contrary, we should assume that Baruch Hashem, Roiv Choylem L'chaim. So I saw that the Paiskim discussed this. And they say, so why do we do it? They say a very posh svara. We know that Safek Nefashos L'Hakol. What does Safek Nefashos L'Hakol mean? It means that whatever it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, when a person's life is on the line, we don't ask questions. We do what we just do what we have to do. So even though, say the Paiskim, there is a rule that Al Gemara just established of Roiv Chayim L'Chayim, when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, when it comes to Davin, for a sick person, we don't rely on Roiv. We even do what Tamiyat is, and that's why we daven. Amar Afuna B'Rei D'Yishua, command Azla Hosh Matzah D'Rava. Who does this opinion that Rava just said follow? Says the Gemara follows the opinion of Rav Nosson, the Tanya. The Braisa discusses, actually, the situation that our Mishnah discusses. Because, to frame the Braisa's situation, the operating rule in most dinei momnus questions, in most monetary situations, is hamoitzi mechaveroi olav haraya. And therefore the question over here is, who is the moitzi? Mi moitzi miyad mi. Who is considered the moitzi that it's moitzi mechaveroi olav haraya? Says the Gemara, who moitzi miyadeyem beloi raya? The giver doesn't need a raya. The heim moitzi miyad el beraya. But the receiver has to bring a raya that he was indeed a bori, divrei Reb Yaakov. That is the opinion of Reb Yaakov. And as Tosfos explains, if we see that the giver always prevails, so it's obvious that the receiver has to bring a raya. So what's the braisa adding the words, right? Reb Yaakov adding the words, the heimet sim yada el baraya, answers Tosfos, that I would think that maybe the giver's position is so strong that even if they have a raya, even if the receivers have a raya, the halacha is that they have a raya that he was a bori when he wrote the shtar. They should not be able to prevail. Teaches us if they have a raya, they can win. Divrei Reb Yaakov. Reb Nosson says no. We look at the person's current status. In bori hu, if right now the giver is a bori, so we assume that he was also a bori when he wrote the gift. And if he's claiming that he was a shkimarat, olav lahavi raya. Shai shkimarat. He has to prove that he was a shkimarat. On the other hand, if now, when we're having this dintaira, shkimarahu, we assume that what he is now is what he was when the question began, and therefore, alei muhavi raya shabari haya. He has to bring a raya that he was a bari. Very interesting shaila. Question comes up, Rachman Litzlan. Somebody becomes aware that one of his close relatives passed away, they asked the Sechiva for. But we know, we learned together, the Gemara Masechta Ma'akatan. The Gemara Masechta Ma'akatan, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch teaches us as the Halacha, says there's a nafkamina in Din, if a person becomes aware of the passing of his relative within 30 days of the Patira, or after 30 days of the Patira. So what is the Halacha, where somebody becomes aware that a close relative of his died, but he doesn't know, and he doesn't have a way to know, obviously, when that Ptira took place. Does he assume that it happened within the last 30 days and he has to sit down for a full Shiva? Or could he assume that it happened more than 30 days ago and he doesn't sit down for a full Shiva, sits down for an hour? So actually, Machloikis, the Maram Mintz paskins that he has to sit down for a full Shiva. Why? He says, because every person has Gecheskes Chai, and we assume that the person was alive until the last moment that we know that he wasn't, and we don't know that when this person died, so the Cheskes Chai says that he died in the last moment, and he has to sit down Shiva. The Taz, paskins not like that. The Taz paskins that he doesn't have to sit down for full Shiva. What is the basis of the Psak of the Taz? The basis of the Psak of the Taz is what Reb Nosson just said. Right now, the relative is dead. And that, we say, is always what points us in the direction what to do. So if this person currently is dead, we assume that he was dead already for more than 30 days, and he doesn't have to sit down a full Shiva. And I think most Paiskim can actually paskin like the Taz. Again, the question doesn't come up, because you usually can find out exactly when the Ptira took place. Another interesting question. There was a person who was hired to be a Rebbe in a yeshiva, to be a Rebbe of students. But the condition was, the employer, the board, says there's an expert in chinuch, and said that you have to go have yourself evaluated by that expert in order that you should get the job. This Rebbe never went. He just started teaching. And then he comes to collect the salary. So when he comes to the board to pay the salary, the board starts checking. Says, you didn't fulfill the condition. You're supposed to go have yourself evaluated. And you didn't go get evaluated, so we don't have to pay you your salary. So he says, you know what? I'll go today to have myself evaluated. What's the din? So the Tzais says a very interesting vart. He says, even though we have in our Gemara a machlokes Reb Nosson and Reb Yaakov, do we follow the situation that he is today? Or do we not follow, or do we look at the earlier situation? That's only in a situation where things change. Like our Gemara. The person is dead, but he was once alive. The person is sick, but he was once healthy. But in the case of the Rebbe, if he's going to be evaluated today by this expert, and the expert says that he is taka a good mechanech, nothing changed that today he's a good mechanech, that he wasn't a good mechanech earlier, and therefore everybody will agree that we follow today's chazaka, and if the evaluator says that he's a good mechanech today, we could assume that he was a good mechanech at the beginning, and he deserves a salary. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Elazar, ulatumak machlokes. The same machlokes that we have here between Reb Nosson and Reb Yaakov, we have regarding Tumah. A word of introduction, a din that we've learned many, many times. The halach is Sofik Tumah. If there's a question of Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid, Sveikai, if it's a Sofik, we go L'Chumra to Tumah. B'Rishus HaRabim, but if the issue comes up in B'Rishus HaRabim, the halach is that it's Tohar. The source for this is the halach by a Saita. So a woman is considered a Saita if she was properly warned and then caught being secluded with the man she was warned about, only Brishus HaYochid, not Brishus HaRabim. So the Mishnah says, Bika, a big field, B'mayis HaChama, in the summer, is Brishus HaYochid L'Shabbos, is considered Brishus HaYochid as far as Shabbos is concerned, Brishus HaRabim L'Tumah. Let's explain this explanation, this din. It's a big field. It's not a field that many people walk in. So the halacha is, the midah raisa, that field is considered Rishus HaYochid. Interestingly, even though midah raisa is considered Rishus HaYochid, and therefore if you're going to carry something from the Rishus HaRabim into that field, Yechayiv, you are Mechal Shabbos midah raisa, you're still not allowed to carry within the field. Why? Because it's considered like a kamalus midah rabbonim. So really has a double-edged chumrah. On one hand, it's a kamalus that midah rabbonim you're not allowed to carry in it, but on the other hand, with the rice, it's Rishus HaYochid, and now to carry from Rishus HaRabim into it, or vice versa. However, the Rishonim say, that's only if it has a wall around it. If it doesn't have a wall around it, it can't be considered a Shusa Yochid for Shabbos. As far as Tum is concerned, since in the summer things aren't growing there, people walk there, and therefore it's considered a Rishus HaRabim, and the halacha is, as far as Tum is concerned, it's Rishus HaRabim. But Maisa Gishamim, in the winter, it's considered Rishus HaYochid Lekan or Lekan. It's considered Rishus HaYochid both for Hilchus Tumma and Hilchus Shabbos. Hilchus Shabbos, it's obvious why it's considered a Rishus HaYochid. Why is it Nafkamina if it's... What's the difference for Shabbos? If it has the required characteristics of being considered a Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos, it's a Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos. The Chiddush is, not the Chiddush, the reason it's a Rosh Hashanah for Hilchus Tumma is because in the winter people don't walk there. And the Rosh Hashanah give two reasons why people don't walk there in the winter. One is because it's muddy. It's a field. And people don't want to get their shoes and their clothing dirty. So it's not a place that a lot of people walk. It's considered a Rosh Hashanah. Another explanation given, because in the winter, plants, produce are growing there. And if you're going to walk there, you're going to trample on them and ruin them. And therefore, people don't walk there. It's considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Amar Rava, says Rava, when is this area considered an area that's in the summer considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Is if the winter hasn't passed. But once a winter passed on it, once a winter has passed, even though now it's ready to summer, Rosh Hashanah Lekan Lekan. It's considered Rosh Hashanah, even though now it's the summer. It's considered Rosh Hashanah both for Hilchus Shabbos or Hilchus. It's considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, both for Hilchus Tumah and for Hilchus Shabbos. So Pasha Pshat, what does this Gemara have to do with the previous Gemara? Very simple. A person walked in this field, and he doesn't know, did he walk in the winter? Did he walk in the summer? So based on what Reb Nosson told us in the previous Gemara, which is actually what Rav said, we see when he asked the question. If he's asking it in the winter, so it's treated like Rosh Hashanah Yochid. If he asks in the summer, it's treated like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's the Gemara. This last din that the Gemara just gave is a seemingly difficult din to understand. To understand that in the winter it's considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and in the summer it's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for Hilchus Tumma, is very understandable. Because in the winter people walk there, the summer people don't walk there. But why, if the winter passed, and now it's the summer, is it still considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid? So the Rashbam says that there's really no reasoning to this. Chazal, some Rishonim say it's Midaraisa, say that once it got the category of being a Rosh Hashanah Yochid in the winter, it can't shake that status. A little hard to understand, but that's the way many Rishonim explain. Tosfos is very troubled with this pshat. Says Tosfos says beautiful pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos says pshat in the Gemara is as follows. It's the summer now. He says, of course, in the summer it's always a Rosh Hashanah HaRabim for Hilchus Tumah. In the winter it's always a Rosh Hashanah HaYochid for Tumah. Now it's the summer. But I know I didn't walk in it now. I know I walked in this field previously. But my question is, which season did I walk in it? Did I walk in it in the previous season, when it's the winter? Or maybe I walked in it two seasons ago, last summer? Says the Gemara, that as soon as you don't recall in which season you walked in it, we always have to be machmer and say that you walked in it in the winter, and the din will be that Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid, that the halacha is Sofik is Tumah. But again, as far as we're concerned, if you know when you walked in it, that time when you walked in it, even if you don't know when you walked in it, but we know you know what you're standing now, says Reb Nosson, that will tell us that that's how we should follow.